I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Start with the Aaron Rodgers watch, as the National Football League may know something because they have a big hyped-up commercial to get you ready for next season featuring Rodgers versus Mahomes. NFL schedule release is coming up this week. All right, so in order to promote that, they're running a commercial, Rodgers versus Mahomes, and now that commercial is gone. It has been replaced with Mahomes versus Lamar. So they're going to play this year, 2019 MVP against the 2018 MVP, but Aaron Rodgers has been taken out of the NFL's official commercial to hype up the season.
Which is, that's telling and odd, too, because unless they think he's going to get traded by Wednesday, this kind of change doesn't really affect the promo of the schedule release. They're not promoting week one. They're promoting the schedule release. Once Wednesday comes and goes, the promotion's over.
Yeah.
So this may actually happen way quicker than we think, because, or at least they're planning for the possibility that it happens. And that's fine. That's what smart companies do. They plan for possibilities of things. But, I mean, do I really think this is going to get done in 3 days? No, probably not. But it is.
Maybe they're removing him from the commercial because he's not going to be playing at all.
Maybe
it's not just a trade. He's not going to be playing at all.
Yeah, that's a good point, too.
Maybe that's his threat.
Yeah, maybe he has talked to enough people, and enough people believe him, which Aaron Rodgers is very petty. Why would you not? Nobody holds a grudge quite like him. That is very fascinating, to the idea that they would just remove him from a promo about the schedule because they think he might not play or get traded.
The dog pound has spoken, and it appears the Cleveland Browns have listened. Mary Kay Cabot out of Cleveland reports the Browns are not interested in trading for Aaron Rodgers. They are, quote, ecstatic that Baker Mayfield turned the corner in the second half of last season, leading them to their first playoff appearance in 18 years and their first playoff victory since returning to the NFL in 1999. She notes in her piece for the Cleveland Plain Dealer that the Browns should offer Baker and more to the Packers for Rodgers. The Packers, however, would likely prefer to see what Jordan Love can do, which would require the Browns to do something else with Mayfield. So the Cleveland Browns telling Mary Kay Cabot, who is as plugged in as any local reporter with any team throughout the country. I'm surprised she doesn't have a national gig yet. No interest in Aaron Rodgers, if it even came to that, and Green Bay was accepting calls.
Man, Mary Kay, she doesn't know. Like the Cleveland Browns are probably top eight in terms of the amount of press they get. Like the amount of stories they create. How about that? Like they create a ton of stories for a team that hasn't been any good for decades. But I would not. I mean, if I were the Browns, if I were the Packers, I would not take Baker. Jordan Love's upside is more intriguing than Baker's. We know what Baker kind of is. I mean, he's a good quarterback, but I don't think anybody thinks he's going to be a great quarterback. At least there's a chance of Jordan Love. He's a great. We don't know. We have no idea. But if I'm Cleveland, I certainly consider it because you know Baker's never going to be the great quarterback. The problem is that, you know, are you going to trade 25 for 38?
Right?
You know, that's your big question. That's your big
sticking
point.
That's the dumbest question you could ask.
I know it's dumb. I know.
Come on, Troney.
I know Troney. It's tough. But
Jesus, Troney.
Troney. you know, the question you got to ask yourself if you're Cleveland, you know, we're close. They are. They're close. They got a good team. Aaron Rodgers of the Cleveland Browns it makes them 1A to Kansas City.
Yes.
It really does. I mean, they've got a fantastic set of weapons. I mean, they've got fantastic running backs. They've got a decent O-line. That makes them 1A to Kansas City. So it is definitely a go for it, but it's about the plan. You know, like their plan's in place. They're building something, and do the Browns fans want to just, you know, scratch that and just skip all the way and get a, quote, cheap Super Bowl where they've been fighting for one forever? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I look at the Jeter Yankees and what happened after those teams when it just felt like they bought every player. And, you know, that's just it's less fun as a fan, as you said last week, when it's not your own. When you're growing and watching your own young talent like Mo Rivera and Posada and Pettit and Jeter, and they're all together, you're like, all right, we did this organically, like Golden State. You know, Golden State had a super team, but they still started on their own with Steph and Draymond and Clay, and then it feels cheaper when you go and add Durant, and you're in for all the rumors with Giannis. It means a little bit more when it's your very own versus going and just buying everybody up. So even though Aaron Rodgers is obviously superior, and they, you know, could be a title favorite, I get the point of, hey, he's not one of ours, and we don't want to just go to try to rent a championship. It'll mean more if we do it on our own. What's going on with Deshaun Watson? Haven't talked about him for a while. Jeremy Fowler on ESPN yesterday said there's a belief around the league that the Texans have begun slowly moving on from Watson, that they're very high on rookie quarterback Davis Mills, who they drafted in the third. We know that Tyrod is probably going to start off the season, but here's what Fowler said. He's a good reporter. A couple of months ago, the Texans were turning down everyone calling them. Carolina was willing to give them the world. They said no. They've been far less committal recently. They don't know when Watson's even going to be cleared to play. The league will consider putting him on the commissioner's exempt list later this summer if the case is still going on. So we know that, you know, at least 8 teams had expressed interest reportedly in getting Deshaun. The Texans wouldn't even pick up the phone. And now you have the Texans and the Packers in a situation where they're going to have to make a decision.
Yep. I mean, they could have had a ton of firsts for Deshaun Watson 3 months ago. They could have had the number, 3 pick in the draft at one point when the Miami Dolphins still had it. They could have had the 3rd pick in the draft plus Miami's other first rounders for several years to come if they just traded Deshaun Watson. And they didn't. And I'm okay with that because, you know, they were like, no, we got an elite quarterback here. We're not just going to trade you. Let's try to make this work. I get it. And now, because of all the off-field issues, he is virtually untradeable. Now, I would trade for him if I was a team. I'd take the risk. I'd send a 1. I'd send a 1 to Deshaun Watson. I don't care what it is. I'd send a 1. And I would take that risk. And if he plays this year, great. And if he doesn't play for 2 more seasons, it was worth the risk. But it's all about the Texans.
What do you accept if you're the Texans? You accept the 1?
I mean, they would know better than we would the exact details of this. They probably have a better idea. If they think that there's a good chance that he doesn't play this year, yeah, I would take the 1 because that 1's probably going to be pretty good if he's not going to play this year.
Man, can you imagine ultimately getting him for a 1? Just throwing 1 out there, getting him, and 2 years later, we're like, we knew he was going to settle the cases anyway. He wasn't going to be banned from the league. I would probably throw 1 out there as well, a mid to low 1, and you could have an all-time steal.
How about this? How about Tampa, who doesn't need a quarterback? And you know they're going to be picking the 20s.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, if I was Tampa, I'd be like, here you go. Here's 2 ones.
Different conferences, too.
Different conference. Here's 2 ones. We know we're picking in the 20s this year. We know, because as long as Tom stays healthy, we're going to be picking in the 20s. And then chances are Tom's going to play again. We'll pick in the 20s that year, and then he'll retire. And then, here's Deshaun. Here you go. We'll give you this. And then we'll go right from Tom Brady to Deshaun Watson.
Yes. So that's the latest on the 2 quarterbacks and possible movement around the NFL. Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan. The Athletic did a GM survey, and they went and talked to different executives throughout the NFL to ask what they thought of each team's draft and where they stand. And it's like someone from The Athletic was monitoring this show. because the biggest thing that you came – well, you came up with two things Friday morning after round one. Number one, why the hell did they take a linebacker? You were depressed. But number two, why didn't they take the Bears trade? Why didn't they do what the Giants and the Bears pulled off? Here is the Athletic and what they started off with, recapping the Cowboys. Would you rather have Micah Parsons and a third used for Chauncey Golston, the DN, or would you rather have Quiddy Pay, the DN that the Colts took, and the Bears' first-round choice in 2022, which some executives think could be a top-10 pick? That was the sort of trade-off the Cowboys weighed before trading back two spots with the Eagles to get Parsons, then adding Golston, the Philly pick, in the third. Quote, Parsons was my highest graded defensive player in this draft, an executive said. If they liked him that much, then so be it. But they could have done the Bears trade there. Would that have been interesting to them? So that is the first thing that the Athletic wrote talking about the Chicago trade, because the Giants pulled it off. The Giants, if the Bears are bad, if they decide to go with Justin Fields right off the jump, or, you know, three, four, six games in, and he suffers his rookie woes, then the Giants are going to have, you know, two selections possibly in the top 15, 16, depending on what they do with Daniel Jones. And the Cowboys could have had that extra first-round pick. They just wouldn't have had their top defensive player on the board.
Look, I said the day of, I mean, I would have taken the Bears trade in a heartbeat. You know, the opportunity to get, I mean, you're going to drop down 10 spots. That's not a game changer. And you're also going to be able to get a top 10 pick next year. So why would I not do that? That all you're doing is trading out, and as it turns out, you were trading out anyway. So now you're only going eight spots lower. I mean, it really was to me a no-brainer. There was obviously
you lost out on your blue chip target.
I know. You lose out on your blue chip target, and I think we just need to kind of go away from that a little bit because, you know, for starters, blue chip targets. I mean, how many of these guys actually pan out? You know, you're paying a premium from a cost perspective in the salary by picking 10 spots higher, and you're also taking just the same risk. Just the same risk. There's plenty of guys every single year that are in 20 to 32 that make it, that become really good players. And, you know, unless you're picking in the top five or six, you're at a coin flip in the NFL draft.
Multiple evaluators said they thought that Micah Parsons could play Sam. What's interesting about what I'm about to read is the versatility of Parsons. Like, Ross Tucker came on last week. You heard him at 5 a.m. this morning before we started the show, and he's talking about him like as a rush D end. And then you're getting him playing the Sam or the Leo pass rushing spot in Dan Quinn's defense. Executives see Parsons as a more naturally athletic version of Bruce Irvin, who Seattle took at 15 in 2012. Both are 6'3". Parsons is 245. Irvin played 5 to 10 pounds heavier, but an evaluator said, quote, Parsons will be phenomenal. He's like a chess piece. Bruce Irvin was explosive and muscular but stiff. This guy can drop into coverage on passing downs. You can use him like Yannick Ngakoue. I think he's just getting started, and his best days are ahead of him. Another GM said he saw Parsons as a 3-4 outside linebacker coming out of Penn State. A personnel director thought Micah would play Sam, rushing the passer in sub packages. Quote, they might see him playing more Will and Mike. I think he'd be a hell of a Leo, just really talented. It'll be interesting to see where he will end up. So that is the Athletic's review on the Cowboys draft. The Giants are livid, apparently, still with what we did with Philadelphia. they wanted Devontae Smith really, really bad. Now, they ended up with the Bears trade. They won't be upset next year if the Bears stink and their second pick in the first round is very, very high. But the Giants are not happy with the Cowboys and Philadelphia because they were looking at Devontae Smith right there. We had heard that story last week.
Listen, the New York Giants, I know they're upset with that, but if Daniel Jones stinks, they're going to have two top 10 picks to be able to move to number one and get their quarterback. Or they could stay where they are, take a quarterback with whatever top 10 pick they have and take another player with whatever top 10 pick they have. So I know they're kind of in a short-term state of unrest. This has got long-term greatness for them because it's going to give them hope and opportunity. And it's tough. It sucks for us because, you know, we're looking at the Giants with possibly a future if they decide to move on from Daniel Jones. Possibly a future at the quarterback position that they're going to have because they made this trade and we didn't. And the only reason why they made the trade is because we didn't make the trade.
But I'll jump in really quick. You're saying if they get number one, they can go after a quarterback next year. There are no good quarterbacks next year. Look at who's coming out. Sam Howell, North Carolina quarterback. That's your top quarterback in the draft next year. It is not a good quarterback class. We got totally spoiled a couple of weeks ago with what happened in the NFL draft. Next year, it's not going to be the same.
You're absolutely right. There's no Trevor. But just take Trevor Lawrence out of this class, and how does this class look with next year? Like, we had what was Zach Wilson this time last year? What was Trey Lance? Mac Jones was what last year? You know, and we just don't know. And you're right. I mean, on paper, it certainly is not as good. But these guys, I mean, these guys come out of nowhere, and we know there's going to be three or four top 10 quarterbacks next year like there is just about every year now.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.